And now, your go-to source for year-round fantasy hockey advice, DFS and betting coverage. This is NHL Fantasy on Ice, presented by Skip, the official food delivery app of the NHL.
New faces, new places. The stretch drive to the fantasy playoffs is here, brought to you by our good friends over at Skip. It's time for another episode of NHL Fantasy on Ice, Week 21 Waiver Wire Edition. It's Nick Elberga and Jake Hahn with you. Jake, happy Monday, buddy.
Happy post-deadline week, Nick. I know how much you love deadline week, and it actually lived up to the hype for once, or at least deadline day finally lived up to the hype for what felt like the first time in a few years. So we'll get into all the debuts over the weekend, what we think of some line combinations, and getting set for fantasy playoffs in about a week or so as well, Nick. So this episode brought to you by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.
Clearly the winner, the Carolina Hurricanes and Mark Jankowski. Two goals over the weekend. It's over, Jake. Just call it a season.
Or the Boston Bruins. All they had to do was sell off everybody, Carlo, Brad Marchand, and all of a sudden, go look at that box score from the win over Tampa Bay on Saturday, and it'll leave you scratching your head thinking, what the heck happened there? So some strange results over the weekend. I think also some results that maybe we would have expected, and Mikko Rantanen gets two games thrown right into the fire with the Dallas Stars. Nick has to face Edmonton, Vancouver, back-to-back situation, and he scores in both games, so pretty good start for the Moose in Dallas.
Yes, and the Stars salvage a split in that back-to-back, but Rantanen 1-1 in his debut, four shots on goal in the first one. But then the tough news, Roope Hintz banged up yet again. So it ends with Robertson, Johnson, and Rantanen on the line. Still pretty damn good, in my opinion.
Yeah, exactly. When you're as deep as Dallas, I know we talked to Meany about it on the Friday show, the post-deadline show. That top six, you can extend it to the top nine, is probably the deepest top nine in the NHL right now. And that's without Roope Hintz and without Tyler Seguin as well, who's out. And it's still, you still look at it and go, man, this is scary. This is lethal. So it's unfortunate. I think if you're a Roope Hintz fantasy owner, you don't want to lose anybody at this time of the season. These are tough injury blows. We saw it with Jack Hughes last week, Dougie Hamilton as well, not getting a great timeline. So from a fantasy perspective, Nick, to lose players like this at this point of the season, there's really no advice for it. It's just you have to eat it. You hope you can find something on the waiver wire to get yourself through the fantasy playoffs, but this is the worst time to pick up those kind of injuries.
Well, this is a perfect show if you're looking for waiver wire options. Again, week 21, Pete Jensen's coming up in about 10 minutes here, and we'll do our best. You're right. This time of year, it's just so hard to salvage that, especially somebody like me who owns Jack Hughes in both the leagues I'm in. Done for the season. I'm not going to win. I've resigned to that fact. I'm not going to win. But you can find the next best option to help you out, at least, in, whether it's internal or external, for that matter.
I love a scrappy underdog story, though, Nick. We're getting close to March Madness, and you know that 15 seed, that 16 seed that maybe wants to make a run. I lost Jack Hughes in a league as well, and in that league, I'm actually just trying to squeak into the playoffs. I don't mind going in with the underdog mindset to think, okay, all the pressure is on that top seed. I know you've been that seed many times before, and you feel that pressure of, okay, I've had this great regular season, and I could just lose round one, a fantasy playoff. So I don't mind going in as the underdog sometimes, but you're right, you lose Jack Hughes. There's no replacing him off the waiver wire. You're really going to have to grind.
Just checking the standings in our 16-team league. Me, you, 1-2. You're in 1-2, first
baby.
By 6 points over me. I just had a rough week losing Hughes, man. Everybody's sad on my team, man. They're not feeling good.
That sounds like the door's open for Johnny one seed over here. So, yeah. But hey, just like I said, and I'm yeah. One seed in another league as well. And in that league, I haven't lost since week one. Honestly, having probably one of the better regular seasons I've had. Yeah. And I know week one of fantasy playoffs is going to roll around, and I'm going to be stuck like 6-1 by Wednesday or Thursday and just sweating bullets.
Usually how it works, my friend, Brock Nelson. That was kind of cool to see him in a different uniform. And Colorado was buzzing. Val Nichushkin, a big game against Toronto Maple Leafs. 11 total goals scored in that game. But we talked about this on Friday. We love the appeal now more than ever, Brock Nelson in Colorado, right?
One, I think it just makes everybody else in Colorado better. I'm not talking about Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar. Those guys are as good as it gets. I don't think there's any room for those guys to get better from a fantasy perspective. But I think it'll help a guy like Val Nichushkin, who's already an excellent player, but maybe take a little bit of pressure, give him another center to play with, depending on what they want to do with their line combinations. Brock Nelson individually, if you had him sitting in that Isles offense, and now all of a sudden he gets injected into that Colorado team, you're loving it. And even Charlie Coyle in a deep league, again, like the Coyles, the Ross Coltons on that Avs roster, I think they have some value, but more so in a deep league. But that top six in Colorado, Nick, they went from being a one-line team, I felt like, before Val Nichushkin came back, to a two-line team when Val came back to now, I think you can maybe argue they're a three-line team, and they're going to need to at least be a three-line team if they're going to go anywhere in the Central Division.
Man, the Avs had a sneaky good deadline. Like, they addressed position of needs, right? They got Nelson at 2C. They got Charlie Coyle, who is so underrated. From a fantasy perspective, again, we talked about this, but I think his value takes a massive hit. He's not playing on the power play in Colorado, understandably so. He's on line three with Kiviranta and Colton. Did pick up an assist in his debut, but they're sneaky good, are the Colorado Avalanche. I don't know if I could say the same about the Carolina Hurricanes. Shout out to my guy Mike Maniscalco in Carolina. Great call on Logan Stankoven's first goal in his first game. Put some stank on it. I love that. But I like this deployment right now. He's playing with Svechnikov and Aho, and PP1 is Logan Stankoven with the Canes.
I think one thing to keep an eye on, I know we're going to have Meany jump in for the Bet365 segment, maybe talk some betting angles from some of these players, what we saw over the weekend, obviously what's coming up this week, but Logan Stankoven and his deployment in Carolina, I think we're going to see an uptick in minutes here, especially with this trade. They're going to want to showcase him, give him all the opportunity to succeed here with the Canes, give him those chances that maybe he wasn't getting in Dallas in a bit more of a spread out offense, less minutes. I'd look to that Stankoven shot prop, Nick. I think, and he's never been shy to fire the puck. I think with a few extra minutes in Carolina on a team that generally likes to shoot and generate a lot of chances, I'm looking at that. I'm looking at him to fire. It was nice to see him get a goal over the weekend. I think I'm still lukewarm in Carolina in general, but I actually think if you're a Stankoven owner, maybe a little bit more value with the Canes than you had with the Dallas Stars.
Quietly heating up are the Carolina Hurricanes as well, and we like that fit for Logan Stankoven. Obviously, a guy is going to get picked up quite a bit over the next couple weeks. So Dylan Cousins ends up in Ottawa. Did you see the shade he threw at Buffalo over the weekend? Maybe it's just like a passive response, but like, dude, like you went from Buffalo to Ottawa, another team that struggled to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, going from Buffalo to Ottawa, I mean, anything from Buffalo is an upgrade, Nick, at this point, just getting out of Buffalo. So if I'm a Cousins owner, I'm pretty happy to see him get to the Ottawa Senators. Again, early days, small sample size based on what we've seen so far, but he's got some talented players to play with there and some good vibes over the weekend. That comeback win over the Rangers, a game they looked down and out in, and Brady Tkachuk, you know, that great post-game interview afterwards, getting fired up about the crowd. So some vibes in Ottawa right now, I think. And I'd be pretty happy if I'm a Dylan Cousins owner, just about the potential of what he could do in the fantasy playoffs.
Here's a fun question. Would you rather own Dylan Cousins right now or Josh Norris, who was part of that deal going to Buffalo? I'm inclined to say Norris. I know he didn't pick up a point in his debut with the Sabres, but Thompson, Norris, Tuck intrigues me, plus power play one. You look at Cousins with Perron and Batherson in line two and power play two.
I think there's probably more of a path to legitimate top line minutes for Norris. So I think you're probably right there in power play time. I'm always worried about injuries, but assuming he stays healthy, I don't mind that spot for Norris. I'm still going to go with Cousins, just the higher ceiling, I think, for this player, if he can finally reach that. A player we saw put up great numbers a couple years ago, and it really fizzled out in Buffalo, but a lot of things tend to fizzle out in Buffalo. And how many times, Nick, have we seen this? A player leaves the Sabres, maybe not instantly has that success or that leap into being a different player, but within the next couple of years, would we be surprised if all of a sudden Dylan Cousins is this point per game guy, and we look back and go, wow, the Sabres let another one get away, just add it to the list. Eichel, Reinhardt, all these guys. So Buffalo better hope that doesn't happen. But at the end of the day, they probably had to part ways with Dylan Cousins anyways.
Probably. Last few I want to hit on, then we'll get to Pete Jensen. Look at week 21, the waiver wire. Casey Mittelstadt gets a debut, but he's playing with Koepke and Lettieri. I mean, that's not really the value I'm looking for. Very diminished looking roster for the Boston Bruins. But as you mentioned, they win. I was like, easy fade. They beat the hottest team in the league. Betting in the NHL makes no sense. Andre Kuzmenko is another guy I thought I had interest in, but he just can't find a home. Although playing with Kopitar and Kempe and on the first power play unit, that does still intrigue me, but there's just no consistency to the game right now.
Well, and going back to your Boston angle as well, some of these teams that sold, I actually do think there could be some value because nobody's going to want a piece of these teams. And if you're in a deeper league, someone's got to get the top 6 minutes and maybe a little extra power play time from these teams that sold off pieces. So I don't completely disregard them. And sometimes you get these situations where, yeah, these are scrappy players and they see an opportunity and they kind of want to run with it. We do have to mention the great chase as well, yes. Nick. We added another goal to the tally and yet another empty netter from Alex Ovechkin. If you were quick enough on the trigger, you could have played that live betting angle, but you had to be really quick this time. McMichael scores with, what, about 4 minutes left? And then Ovi gets the empty netter. It's amazing, this guy's ability to find the empty net, Nick. He's got two guys on him. He's basically at the center ice at the red line, back turned to the net, just sweeps a backhand, and it somehow goes right in the middle of the net. It's amazing some of the spots this guy can find the empty net from.
I'm loving this great chase. It is so cool, and to me, the big thing is his age, what he's doing at his age, finding his way. The consistency, the durability, like even coming back from a broken leg the way he did and just not skipping a beat. On top of that, I think the best part of this story, Jake, they're a good team. Like, he has a shot at winning a second Stanley Cup, in my opinion, this season.
I love that added wrinkle. Imagine if we were watching this and it's like, oh, Capitals are second last in the East and we're talking about a rebuild and blowing the thing up. It's like, okay, it's still cool. He's still chasing Gretzky, but it's so much better that the games have meaning. And we're going to get to watch this, and maybe he breaks it by the end of this year, maybe within the last couple weeks of the season, something like that. And then we're all excited and it's, you know, a story all across the sports world. And then the Capitals get to start a playoff run as the one seed, and we get to see if, hey, can Ovi run it back and win a second Stanley Cup. So a lot more fun, not only having the Caps as a playoff team, but a legitimate cup contender as well.
All right, Jake, here we go. Week 21. Here's a look at the schedule. March 10th to 16th. We got 48 games in total. 4 Monday, 11 Tuesday, 4 Wednesday, 9 Thursday, 6 on Friday, 11 Saturday, 7 on Sunday. The four game teams you want to look at: Anaheim, Colorado, Detroit, Edmonton, Florida, the Rangers, Ottawa, Utah, Vancouver, and Vegas. The two game teams, Calgary and Dallas. So less Mikko Rantanen, unfortunately, this week.
Less Mikko Rantanen. I heard Vegas in there, though, and I have seen a couple people, this happened again early in the season, giving up on my guy Pavel Dorofeev over in Vegas. I know there's some other bodies that have come in there, but they like him. They like that lethal shot on the power play. I saw him hit a couple waiver wires, even in deeper leagues. I would go and scoop him back up for fantasy playoffs. I don't think he's going anywhere in that top six.
I call him Pavel Skorofeev. What a stud. And we talk about deadline day as we bring in Pete Jensen. We didn't get Vegas. We didn't get Pete Jensen. So hello to you, Petey. What's going on, buddy? What'd you think?
Not a quiet deadline for everybody else, but yes, unusually quiet for the Golden Knights. Remember, at the tail end of last deadline, they did pick up Tomas Hertl. I feel like he's been a home run for them. As long as the blue line is healthy, they get Theodore back, they're going to be dangerous and maybe have a little bit clearer path anyway in that, right, in the Pacific Division. So, yeah, it's going to be a bloodbath in the Central. It's going to be ridiculous. Even Winnipeg, right? People are forgetting about them. They got a little bit tougher with a guy like Tanev, 5 hits in his first 2 games.
Pete, I wanted you to have your day in court with the whole Rantanen trade. I mean, it's crazy to see a star player like this flipped. The initial Rantanen trade was crazy enough, and now we get him flipped to the Dallas Stars. So your thoughts on both angles, Carolina losing Mikko Rantanen, what that means, and Dallas gaining Mikko Rantanen.
So first with Rantanen, I think he's a top 10 fantasy player moving forward, no doubt about it. We're going to see more of what we saw in Colorado, regardless of what center. And that's such a great example, right? Like, Hintz goes down, and like they have four other centers to choose from. They go with Wyatt Johnston, who got the extension himself. I'm glad for Dallas's sake that they didn't have to give him up. As far as Stankoven, you guys remember, I was high on him in the preseason. I'm seeing a lot of people knock this guy. I loved what I saw in his debut. And I just think that, like, maybe even if Stankoven plays a little center, I know he started on the wing top line with Svechnikov and Aho. I feel like Stankoven is a sneaky, stealth fantasy ad. And even when they get to the playoffs, could give them a little shot and goal-scoring pop when it matters most.
And a lot of value right now. If you look at NHL.com/fantasy, the article, top 10 waiver looks this week, he's around 20% owned as we have this conversation, which, again, he's very available to pick up. At least try him out here over the next couple weeks. Yeah. The Ottawa-Buffalo deal, I'm sure, caught your attention, but Josh Norris goes to Buffalo. The Sens in general, I thought, had a pretty decent deadline. Dylan Cousins going there, and Fabian Zetterlund from San Jose, right?
Yeah, I mean, Buffalo had their fan base on the ledge, right? Like, there were those Paterka rumors the night before the deadline. Then they got Norris. Not a bad move, but, I mean, just a dark situation, I feel like, unfortunately. Norris is actually top line with Tage and Alex Tuck and power play one, but they did get shut out in the first game. So I really don't know what to make of Buffalo. I like the move for Ottawa. I like Zetterlund. When he suits up, Cousins, 9 hits in his first game. He's motivated to get out of Buffalo right now, for sure, regardless of what he said. Line 2, you would expect line 2 to be something like Zetterlund, who goes from the Sharks to Ottawa, playing alongside Batherson, and then the other trade deadline addition there.
One name that got moved, I think that kind of flew under the radar late last week, Pete, was Oliver Bjorkstrand going to the Tampa Bay Lightning. You know, maybe not as big of a name as some of these other guys that we're talking about. Meany made a good point on the Friday show just about his potential of maybe taking over for that Stamkos role on the power play. But you're seeing potential here that maybe Bjorkstrand can help people out in fantasy playoffs, right?
Definitely. I mean, he got a look at line one in the last game. I wouldn't expect that to stick, but power play one, that's a great point by Means. And even if he's on line 3 with Yanni Gourde, we remember how valuable Yanni Gourde was in that third line role, just a secondary spot, a do-it-all type player. So yeah, I'm excited about Tampa Bay, regardless of that little blip that they had the other day against Boston. I feel like they're going to be up there with Florida, with Carolina, Washington, and again, with these moves in the Atlantic Division, I don't think that that was a good start for Toronto. I still side with those other teams in terms of futures appeal compared to the Maple Leafs.
Pete, I won't lie. Look at your list this week. There's a Russian kid about to make his debut, second overall pick. He's not on your list, but you do have two Hawks, Alex Vlasic, Spencer Knight. Explain yourself, please.
Yeah, so I know Lev Shinov was called up by the Blackhawks. It could be him. It could be Vlasic. We've seen, you know, the shot speed from Vlasic. The workload is going to increase for sure with Seth Jones out of the picture. And then, you know, you just look at that team in general. I think you saw it the other day with Spencer Knight. He's been lightning in a bottle so far, 2-0 with a 951. Connor Bedard scores the electric winning goal, and all of a sudden you see Chicago, as they transition into now a full-blown rebuild, they have some pieces to get the fan base excited to play spoiler. You know, look out for those couple of key names, and we've been waiting all year to see Lev Shinov, so definitely put him on your watch list as a rookie.
It feels like with Seth Jones gone, we remember those comments from Seth Jones, right? PD, yeah. Late before he left. Maybe that's motivation for these Blackhawks to say, hey, he threw some shots before he left, and now we're gonna play well here down the stretch. It's good to see Bedard having a little bit of fun. Like, it hasn't looked like he's had much fun this year at all, right? And you might have to plug your nose a bit to start Spencer Knight in a fantasy matchup, but hey, he's looked good through a couple games so far. One sneaky player I saw on your list here, Pete, Gus Nyquist out in Minnesota. I don't think there's going to be a ton of interest, probably low ownership on this player, but you think in a deep league, maybe he could be a sneaky play, right?
So their last game, he got moved down in the lineup, so maybe just temper the expectations there, but it's just because of that situation with Eriksson Ek and Kaprizov out longer than expected. You know, maybe he'll be more involved in the offense. I just remember a couple deadlines ago, he went to Minnesota and had a nice little finish, garbage time fantasy points, so I could see that happening again. And another name that Chris Meany actually convinced me on, Andrei Kuzmenko for LA, he has gotten better lineup placement than I would have expected. He had 3 shots on goal on Sunday in the win against Vegas on the road. He's playing with Kempe and Kopitar and also on power play one for a very deep offense in LA. So I like that.
Guys, this Kuzmenko file is appealing because we saw what he did first year, but he keeps getting bounced around. Like, I was laughing looking at his log in Philadelphia. He had, you know, had history with Michkov. I think he played like 3 or 4 games, was benched for a bunch, and next thing you know, it was one of those things where Torts is like, get this guy away from me. Get him out of town. They did. He goes to Los Angeles, but we're going to monitor that because of the deployment. Great stuff, Pete. Week 21 waiver wire edition. You could look over at NHL.com/fantasy for all the names, and obviously very inspired by the trade deadline on Friday. It's now time for On the Money, brought to you by Bet365. It's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca as we bring in the aforementioned Chris Meany. Means your thoughts on what we saw over the weekend, the reaction, the fallout to deadline day on Friday.
Yeah, I think you guys hit on most of it, you know, just to kind of piggyback off of what you guys were just saying about Kuzmenko. Yeah, it started off pretty good for him getting those two line mates. We'll keep an eye because, as you said, Nick, he has moved around quite a bit. First line, first power play, doghouse, press box. But he does have some scoring potential, and LA certainly needs something, you know, in their top six other than Kempe and Kevin Fiala. You guys mentioned Logan Stankoven. He's certainly somebody to keep an eye on the prop market. Jake, you mentioned him as well, maybe his shot prop. What was interesting to me is that he played 8 minutes at 5-5 in his debut. It was the third fewest, more than Andrei Svechnikov. I don't know what's going on with Svechnikov, but he had 7 minutes on the power play. So he played almost more minutes on the power play than he did at 5-5. But keep in mind, that's his first game with Carolina. To get that type of usage on the first power play, nearly 8 minutes at 5-4, picking up a goal. He had 5 shot attempts in his debut as well. So Jake, he's certainly somebody to keep an eye on moving forward, and, you know, plus money over the weekend for him to pick up a point and to have 2 shots.
That's a lot of ozone touches for a guy that generally likes to fire the puck when he gets into that ozone, right? So only a couple shots on Sunday, but I think if he continues to get that kind of minutes means and that kind of power play time, we're going to see some games where maybe we can even climb the ladder on the shot prop, because we know Carolina is a team that generally likes to just run it up in terms of those shots, right? 30, 35, 40 shots in a game, especially if they end up getting down. Any initial thoughts on Mikko Rantanen and that Dallas lineup? I know, unfortunately, we see Roope Hintz get injured over the weekend, but in the prop market, how are we playing Dallas? Is there a player maybe that takes a hit, like a Wyatt Johnston, you know, anybody that maybe takes a backseat to a guy like Mikko Rantanen coming in?
Yeah, I think originally the thought process for me was maybe Matt Duchene takes a bit of a hit because he was playing on that top power play, and with the addition of Mikko Rantanen, Matt Duchene goes on the second power play unit. But this is why we like them, I mean, so much, because of the depth that they have, right? They lose Roope Hintz, and all of a sudden Wyatt Johnston, who is playing on their third line, who's inside the top 10 in scoring since the calendar turned to 2025, just jumps up on that first line and plays in the middle of Mikko Rantanen and Jason Robertson. And then, you know, you still have Granlund and Duchene and Mason Marchman. So there's just so much to like about this Dallas squad. I would take a look at point props, like parlays over at Bet365, because a lot of these guys are minus 200 for a point. But you could do Robertson and Mikko Rantanen plus money for a point. You can include Wyatt Johnston in there. You can take a look at Granlund and Duchene if they're playing together. So keep an eye on the lines, because Nick, Pete DeBoer, he shuffles his lines more than anybody. Like, we're all excited here about Mikko Rantanen, but I wouldn't be shocked if Mikko had different line mates here in a couple weeks. But we'll keep an eye on Roope Hintz when he gets back in the lineup. There's no doubt that he'll be back with Jason Robertson and Mikko Rantanen, but there's a lot to like about this Dallas team and shot props, certainly with Wyatt Johnston, Robertson, and Mikko. Those would be the three I would target moving forward.
It's really funny because Rantanen's now been on both teams that we sort of shy away from in fantasy just because they like to spread the wealth, and that's Carolina and Dallas. So I just want to see where he fits, where the point production comes. And I saw a great stat over the weekend, Rantanen losing on three different teams this season to the Edmonton Oilers, which I think was kind of cool. Carolina, Dallas, and the Colorado Avalanche as well. Are we sleeping on the Florida Panthers? Means they've won 6 in a row. I think quietly maybe they won the deadline. You get Seth Jones, you get your boy Nico Sturm, you get Brad Marchand. They're just chipping away, and they're red hot right now too.
Yeah, they are. And that top line, I just absolutely love when Paul Maurice puts, you know, the Barkov with Reinhardt, we've seen for a long time, but Verhaeghe on that wing as well. And Florida, when you look at them overall in terms of a possession team, they're up near the top. They dominate play. They own the puck. They own the shot attempt edge. And especially at home, we saw that over the weekend. And Sam Reinhart's been nearly even money for 3 shots. And he's been electric since the Four Nations faceoff, putting a lot of pucks towards the net. So Barkov picking up assists as well. And I still believe that Seth Jones is a guy that's going to get up on that first power play over time. Like, I'm looking at Florida when they're at full health. And I think I would see him on that first power play unit. And then, you know, it's only a matter of time before, what you said, Nick, we see that line of Bennett, Tkachuk, and Brad Marchand, which is just going to be one of the toughest lines to play against at 5-5 and in the playoffs as well. So yeah, they're favorites for a reason. They're now actually Stanley Cup favorites. According to Bet365, they have slightly leapfrogged the Dallas Stars, Jake, at 5-1. It's tough to get back to the finals 3 straight years, but they're still the team to beat in the East. And what we talked about on Friday, Jake, I think from a betting perspective, Stanley Cup futures, there's still a lot of value on the Washington Capitals.
And boys, I know we're all down on this team, but sometimes I like to play the doom and gloom angle. The New Jersey Devils and what we saw happen last week, this isn't trade related, more injury related, with Jack Hughes going down, obviously Dougie Hamilton now on the back end. Is there anybody we can attack maybe in the prop market? I think on the Friday show, I said it's got to be Timo time. Well, it hasn't been Timo time yet. He's not picking up the points. He did get a few shots over the weekend, but Nick, is there anybody on New Jersey you think we should be attacking here? Bratt, Meyer, one of these guys, like somebody has to soak up the shots from Jack Hughes and the offensive minutes. And they've got some good matchups coming up, 2 against Columbus and 1 against Pittsburgh, 3 of their next 4 games. So not bad matchups coming up for the Devils here.
Yeah, I think you listed some good names. I think it's got to be Heischer's team right now. I'll be honest, I'm lukewarm on this New Jersey team without Hamilton, without Hughes in the lineup. I just don't think they're like a playoff team. I still wonder if they're going to make the playoffs. I really, really do. And I think it's going to be a struggle down the stretch here. We do think there's some value still in sort of that mindset. But I think from a goal-scoring perspective means it's just not going to be there the way it was when you have Hamilton, when you have Hughes specifically, like on a different planet. There's a reason why he's widely regarded as one of the best players in the world. You take him out of the lineup, it's a different Devils team. So their depth will be tested. But anybody up the middle who is playing in that top six, I would definitely look at. And this is a really good time for Anna Dua's boy, Dawson Mercer. We really haven't talked about this guy at all this season, honestly.
Yeah, goals in back-to-back games. So there maybe it is the time to discuss him and playing a little bit with Timo Meier. I'm with Jake. Like, this is your time, Timo, right? It's been a little rocky since he was acquired from San Jose, you know, not getting top power play time. Now, no excuse, getting some top power play time. Going to be leaned on here over the next couple of weeks to kind of fill the void. But I kind of lean with you, Nick. I don't really like where they're at. You know, Dougie Hamilton over the weekend, there was word out in Jersey's camp that he's going to miss an extended period of time. This is a horse on the blue line. So I would take a look at maybe Luke Hughes plus money over the weekend to pick up a point. He does have 8 points over his last 7 games. But this is, you're talking about the schedule moving forward, Jake. There are certainly some winnable games, but how about a matchup tomorrow against the Columbus Blue Jackets, right? Blue Jackets went into MSG and took care of the Rangers pretty easily. Adam Fantilli, another hat trick, and they're just 4 points back of New Jersey with 2 games in hand. So that is a big time game, a big time matchup. And if they lose that, all of a sudden they're feeling the pressure of holding on to a wild card spot.
We going 3-way in that game, boys? Jake?
Ooh, it is 3-way season, right?
It is.
Yeah, or maybe fire up your overtime games where teams get a little bit tight late and you don't want to cough up that point, especially when you're facing a team in the other conference. I thought we were getting one of those on Saturday night between the Leafs and the Avs. When the Avs tied it up, I'm like, okay, this has got OT written all over it. Everyone take a point. Avs, they weren't interested in that. They're like, no, we're just going to win this one right now. No point for you, Toronto. Sorry about that. Guys, shift into Monday night a little bit. I don't know if you've realized, but Buffalo is not good at all. The Sabres
really?
I'm not sure if you've been following this, but it's been another bad year.
It's been 15 years, Jake. Yes,
yeah, it's been a while, but Buffalo's still bad, still confirmed bad. They're facing Edmonton, who I know has gone through their struggles, but they did get a nice win against Dallas over the weekend, maybe get some good vibes back. Still pretty leaky defensively, and the goaltending isn't great. I'm willing to play Edmonton in regulation here, even Edmonton puck line. Nick, I just think Buffalo's packed it in. Like, it's done. It's over. There's no juice left in that team. Sometimes the Sabres do this thing where they play well in meaningless games at the end of the season. I don't know. The vibes are just totally off there. So I'm willing to fire up the Oilers tonight. Big win.
I'll be honest. Over the weekend, I watched the Sabres game for the first time in a month. I just can't get to it. It puts me in a very annoyed mood, and I just can't do it. So all the power to you. Yeah, I would probably go with Edmonton. Okay, Jake, as somebody who doesn't watch the Buffalo Sabres, I would go with Edmonton. No, I'm kidding. But just show some pride. I like the Norris addition. Just stay healthy for their sake or for his sake as well. Score some goals. You know, get Thompson going. Like, at least have some positivity going into next season. I just don't know what else to add because it's been 14 straight years of this with the Buffalo Sabres. And one day, they'll break through. Also looking at Monday's slate, boys, I like the Toronto Maple Leafs to win in regulation in Utah. The Leafs have been struggling. They need a big one here before they get home because you know who's coming on Thursday? Florida Panthers at home at Scotiabank Arena. I'm also going to play the under Detroit and Ottawa. It's been a really, really weird season for Detroit. They make the coaching change, and now they're cold again, means.
Yeah, they are. But just before I get to that, I wanted to give some love to Hyman. It's been a quiet season for him. All of a sudden, now he's got goals. He had 2 goals and 3 points in that big win over the weekend against Dallas. He had 5 shots. Now he has 11 shots in his past 2 games. He's minus 130 for 3 shots. And I love your call, Nick, about Josh Norris. Sorry, keep an eye on him. This guy's getting an opportunity to play with the big boys in Buffalo and a new start for him. Over to Detroit and Ottawa, there's kind of a lot I like in this game, so I'll rapid fire through quickly. But this is a big game as well, and you kind of feel like this is a must win for Detroit. This is a team that's struggling at the moment. 5 straight losses, the 4th most goals allowed since the Four Nations faceoff, nearly 4 per game and 4+ in 8 of their last 10, not to mention they have the 2nd worst penalty kill in the league. Now Ottawa, they've reeled off wins in back-to-back and 3 of 4. Take a look at Jake Sanderson. He's got 6 points in his past 4 games, 3 power play points, and he's shooting the puck, 3+ in 5 of 7 and 2+ in all of those 7 games. He's minus 125 for a point. But I think a player that we haven't really discussed quite a bit is Tim Stützle. And kind of surprised me to look at the game log today at the back of the hockey card. He's got a 14-game point streak. He's got 15 assists and 20 points over that span. He's minus 115 for an apple. Him and Brady for a point over at Bet365, plus 110. Brady has goals in 5 straight games. Over that span, he has a game with 11 shots, another with 9, and another with 6. So we know he loves to shoot the puck. And then you guys discussed him earlier, Nick, Dylan Cousins. An opportunity for him, a career-high 9 hits in his Sens debut. Tell me that guy isn't jacked to be away from Buffalo. And he picked up an assist in that debut as well, over 4 minutes on the power play, and he had 3 high-danger chances just behind Brady. So he's plus 135 to pick up a point against Detroit.
Bringing the heat means great stuff. Breaking news coming in from Bet365, where every nail-biting overtime win, breakaway, pick six, three-point shot, underdog win, buzzer beater, shootout, walk-off, and absolutely every play in between is amazing. From football to basketball and hockey to baseball, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 or older, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. If you or someone you know has concerns about gambling, visit ConnexOntario.ca. Pete Jensen, you want to dive in a bit more into the the market, the prop market, and that. What do you got for us?
Well, first, I wanted to mention Jake Wallman playing top pair, had a monster fantasy showing the other day, 24 minutes, an assist, 3 shots, 2 hits, 3 blocks. He's plus 180 for 3+ shots on goal at Buffalo on Monday, so that seems like a slam dunk. And yeah, some teammates affected by moves. Celebrini and Will Smith are playing together after the Zetterlund trade. Celebrini, 2 assists, 10 shots on goal against the Islanders the other day. Will Smith scored a power play goal and had 3 shots. So I'm excited to see those two guys play together. J.G. Pageau moved up to line 2 with Lee and Holmstrom for the Islanders. Had a 3-point game with 1 on the power play against the Sharks on Saturday. So maybe he regained some fantasy relevance. And then this kid, Mackie Samuskevich, for power play 1 for the... I nailed it, right? So power play 1 for the Florida Panthers. While Marchand and Tkachuk are injured, he's top 6 and power play 1 and has a nice stat line with some power play points, shots on goal, and points to boot over his past 15 games.
Bang up job, Petey. Jake, final word to you as we get set for the stretch drive to the fantasy playoffs here. I love it.
How do I top Mackie Samuskevich? That is that is a pull from Petey. I love that. I love that. Looking for any angle, especially this time of the year, deep league fantasy playoffs. This is the best time of the year. And now we're past the deadline, Nick. I know you're probably upset. No more trades the rest of the year, but we love fantasy playoffs. And then we get ramped up for the real NHL playoffs as well. Colorado minus 600 tonight, by the way, against the Chicago Blackhawks. Should be no surprise. But maybe we fire up the Spencer Knight save prop, Nick. It feels like it's just going to be an avalanche of shots. Assuming he gets the start, that's no confirmation as we talk right now, but if Knight's starting, I don't mind firing up that Knight save prop. I feel like there's going to be he's going to be facing a lot of rubber in Colorado tonight.
Just to wrap, losing sleep over the fact that Mikko Rantanen could have been a Toronto Maple Leaf if it weren't for Mitch Marner not waving his no trade, man. Just the fallout of trades is crazy to me, but just love Mikko Rantanen as a player. So we'll see what he has in store here for Dallas, Jake.
Sometimes it's fun to see the trades that didn't happen.
I know.
On that side, though, I don't mind the Leafs hanging on to Marner and just not messing with chemistry at this point of the season, right? Like, they're both great players. I do think Rantanen's the guy I probably would trust more come playoff time. So we'll see if Marner can maybe prove something in the playoffs. But man, it's cool to see these deals that were on the table that didn't end up happening, and a really fun deadline on Friday.
There you have it, Week 21 Waiver Wire Edition. Don't forget to check out the latest edition of NHL Unscripted and Energy Line as well. Coming up on Thursday, Week 21 Mailbag Edition. Get those questions in. Important time of year in the fantasy season. Thank you to producer Phil Constantino. For Jay Conn, Pete Jensen, and Chris Meany, I'm Nick Elberga. You've been listening to NHL Fantasy on Ice delivered by Skip. Skip to the good part and get groceries, meals, and essentials delivered right to your door on Skip.